Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher,
Beloved, to the message of grace. I'm Brother Leon Anderson, and I'm going to bring to you today the word rightly divided, the gospel of the grace of God, that a message that was given to the Apostle Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven's glory for our trust, us Gentiles living in this age of grace for today. So will you take your Bibles at this time and turn to 2 Timothy 2:15, will you? 2 Timothy 2:15. The Bible says that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, as ye rightly divide the word of truth. And part of the problem, beloved, today is that we're not obedient to what the Bible has told us to do. God's method is for us to study to show ourselves approved unto Him, and we're not doing that. And so Paul says, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, he says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Beloved, I've just read to you a scripture that is the answer to confusion in the church world today. People are not considering what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul has been appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ as the minister of the Gentiles and the administrator of grace in the era in which we live. And that era is the dispensation of grace. He says, "Consider, just consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Can you imagine, beloved, that with a consideration of what the Apostle Paul is saying, that the church world would be more united today, that there'd be less confusion today? Beloved, there would be no reason to have a church front on every block teaching and unteaching what each other is teaching the people. Ministers would know exactly what the will of the Lord is when they teach the people. Beloved, if we would only just consider what the Apostle Paul says, we'd find that this is the answer to confusion in the church world today. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, a young minister that he had established in the faith, and he gave constant instructions, and he gave Timothy instructions of what to do in almost every instance. Let's back up to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and read up to why Paul says, "Consider what I say." We'll find that there are some things that we can learn that might help us today, because what Paul has said to Timothy in most cases we can apply to ourselves, because we too are Gentiles, and Timothy was a Gentile. And Paul, being the administrator of grace and being the minister of the Gentiles, he has the message from God for us today. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul, realizing that Timothy was a young pastor, that times were hard at that particular time, as times are hard today for us, Paul says in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Beloved, and those things are gotten because of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine resident in your soul that you can draw from that bank of sound doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ has given Paul for our trust. And that's the only way we're going to have the power and the love and the sound mind that the Lord would have us have today, beloved. And that's by having sound doctrine into us, and that rightly divided and righteous living. And you can only live right today by an appreciation and of the appalling truth. He goes on to say in verse 8, he says, "Be not thou for ashamed of the Lord, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Beloved, now, as many of us as may not want to agree that there are afflictions that go along with being a Christian, being saved in this dispensation of grace, there are definitely afflictions that will come if you will live righteous. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, "For it is given in behalf of us not only to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but to suffer for his sake." And so you can't get around it, beloved. If you're going to live righteous and pleasing in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be some suffering and some afflictions. It's just going to come. It is appointed to us. 2 Timothy 2 and 12 tells us, "If we suffer, that we shall also reign with Christ." And so there are some benefits of suffering. You don't have to suffer. He said, the Bible goes on to say in the next verse that if you deny the suffering, he will deny you the reigning. It doesn't mean, beloved, that he'll deny your salvation, because you are eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 24, the Apostle Paul had gotten to a point in his spiritual life where he realized, he says, "I now rejoice in my afflictions and in my sufferings and fill up the afflictions that's behind of the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, if the Lord Jesus Christ were still here today, he would still be afflicted as he was when he was on this earth. And the Apostle Paul says, "I welcome those afflictions because I'm representing my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ." In verse 9 goes on to say, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Beloved, if you would only consider what the Apostle Paul says, then the Lord will give thee understanding in the things that you wonder about, in the things that people fight about, in the things that people are confused about in this church world. You don't have to be confused today. All you must do, beloved, is obey what the Lord has said according to the dispensation of grace. That's to study, to show yourself approved. That's to believe that the Apostle Paul is the minister of the Gentiles according to Romans chapter 11 and verse 13. Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." He saved us and called us with a holy calling, beloved, not according to our works. And if we could only get that in our heads today, beloved, not according to our works, there are those who would tend to want to work their way to the Lord Jesus Christ, work for their salvation after he's made it very plain that the Lord has finished the work that God gave him to do, and that now salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 4 says to the effect that now unto him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but a debt. Beloved, if you worked for something, then the Lord would owe you something. He would owe you your reward, and the Lord will not have that. But he goes on to say, but unto him that worketh not, but believeth on him that is God, that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You won't be confused so far as working for salvation or how salvation comes if you would only consider what the Apostle Paul says. He says, just consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Beloved, all the Bible is for us. Now, I know I preach the Apostle Paul because the Bible has told me that Paul is my minister. He's the minister of the dispensation of grace. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, says 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man might be thoroughly furnished unto all good work. That is the man of God. But, beloved, you can't really appreciate the fact that all Scripture is inspired of God if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, which is also in obedience to what the Lord has said in 2 Timothy 2 and 15. You must study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, as we rightly divide the word of truth. It's God's way, beloved, and it's the only way. Yours doesn't work, does it? And I know there are many people who are trying their own way out there, and it just doesn't work. You might not admit, beloved, that it's not working, but it doesn't work. Verse 10, but now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Beloved, this is one of the verses in Scripture that might and should revolutionize your thinking about death and dying today. The Apostle Paul here says, and at the end of verse 9, he says, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Who has abolished death? Now, isn't that a striking thought? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came and he lived and he died and he on the third day he rose again, the Bible says here, being made known through the Apostle Paul in his writings, that the Lord Jesus Christ has virtually abolished death. Paul says, consider what I say and you'll understand these things. It reminds me of a passage in John. I believe it's John chapter 11 where the Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ says, for I am the resurrection and the light. Those who believe in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And those who are living and believe in me, they shall never die. Beloved, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ has abolished death. The Apostle Paul makes this known to us. And as we go on in verse 11, he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And in Romans chapter 15, beloved, there is something very startling that I must share with you tonight before my time is gone. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul tells us something very, very enhancing and enlightening. He says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 15, he says, if I get there, he says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctioned by the Holy Ghost. Beloved, that sounds divine to me. I don't know how that sounds to you, and I don't know what you make out of that scripture. But it seems to me the Apostle Paul is in no uncertain terms saying that the Lord has appointed him as some type of a mediator between the salvation of the Gentiles today with the message that he's given to present to us. And he draws a startling contrast just a few verses over in verse 8. He says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision." Who are the circumcision? Well, that was Israel. It's strange that on the same page, beloved, the Apostle Paul points himself out as minister of the Gentiles, which you and I are, unless, of course, you're a Jew. And, of course, it doesn't make a difference today because Romans chapter 10 tells us there is no difference between Jew and Gentile today. But there was a difference, beloved, but the middle wall has been torn down. But it's startling that the Apostle Paul will, right on the same page in my Bible, he will let you know that the Lord Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. And he draws a difference there and says that he is the minister of the Gentiles. And that's why the Apostle Paul can say, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." He is the minister of the Gentiles. There's another scripture that I'd like to share with you. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, as Paul, realizing that he's the man of the hour, God's man of the hour, to the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at the 15th verse, the Apostle Paul say, For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many teachers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Now you're beginning to understand why the Apostle Paul can say, "Consider what I say." He says to the Corinthians, "I have begotten you through the gospel." Beloved, whether you're willing to be fair and believe it or not today, but if you're saved and you're under the sound of my voice, if you're saved, you were begotten, you too were begotten by Paul's gospel. Why? Because God is not saving anyone today according to the law. The Apostle Paul is the administrator of grace. Now, you might have been saved, beloved, through believing scripture, a little part of the grace, a little part of the law, and you may not fully realize where one stopped and the other end. But, beloved, the Lord took that section of grace that you believe, that is the gospel, according to Paul, and that's how you're saved. Now, it makes no difference. The other, anything else beyond that you believe, beloved, will only tend to confuse you. But it doesn't mess with your salvation. Paul says, "You all been begotten by me, so you follow me." In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, "Follow me as I also follow Christ." Why should you follow Paul, beloved? And I believe out of all the scriptures that I have shared with you today, I think I'm still about to share one that could be more controversial. It's not controversial, beloved, because when God said it and it's rightly divided, that's it. In my life, anyway. The Apostle Paul says, why should you follow the Apostle Paul? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, beginning at the 15th verse, rather, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy." Listen, beloved. He says, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering as a pattern," or for a pattern, "to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." You say Jesus is your pattern? The Bible doesn't say that, beloved. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus' sinless life would only point down your sinless your sinful condition, beloved. Paul is the pattern of grace. It says it right here. He says that in me first, Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. That's why we should consider what the Apostle Paul in part, and yet there's more. Romans 16 and 25 is also very, very important, something that I must relate to you before our time is gone today. Romans 16 and 25, another reason why we ought to consider what the Apostle Paul says. The biggest reason being because God says he's the minister of the Gentiles. In verse 25 of chapter 16 of Romans, the Apostle Paul makes another astounding fact known to those who hadn't heard before. He says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but listen, beloved, but now is made manifest." That is, now at this time, through the Apostle Paul, is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, that is his own scriptures, is being made manifest according to the commandment of the everlasting God, listen, beloved, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Beloved, what the Apostle Paul is saying in this scripture, and this is the word of God, beloved. This is the word of God. Whether you accept it or reject it, let it be known that you're rejecting the word of God. You're not rejecting Paul. You're rejecting the counsel of God if you reject what he's given Paul to pin down for your trust. He says it's for all nations. The Apostle Paul is the administrator of grace for the whole entire world today, beloved. All nations for the obedience of faith. And this is by order of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, there are some that wonder at times, and often I've wondered, well, did Paul ever know that, you know, he was writing scripture? And did he ever have any idea that? Well, he says it right here in this verse, beloved. He says, "And by the scriptures of the prophets." How did he know? I guess the Lord told him. The Lord communicated with the Apostle Paul by revelation. He says, "By the scriptures of the prophets made known to, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." And so I would imagine Paul knew he was writing scriptures that was going to end up in the canon of scripture. Paul knew why the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't come. It was no big mystery to Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ made it pretty well known. Paul penned down in Romans 11 in chapter 25 that blindness in part has taken place in Israel, in the nation Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Paul knew that the Lord wasn't going to come until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Furthermore, Paul knew that according to 1 Thessalonians and 4 and 13, which he wrote down, that the consummation of the Gentiles would happen at the rapture. And he knew that the Lord Jesus Christ would not come back until after the rapture. Then Christ would appear. As we go into chapter 2, beloved, and my time is well spent today, but getting back to our section in our text, we want to go back to chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Beloved, with a consideration of what the Apostle Paul has said, it would be no mystery about what you ought to do with the message that God wants you to distribute and wants you to preach today. He says, "Commit it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." He says, Paul says to Timothy, during encouraging Timothy through these hard times, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. And that's what we have to do, even at these trying times, as ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who, as we attempt to, and Satan is fighting on every hand trying to get this message locked up, shut away, that the world can't hear what the Lord is doing today. He says, endure hardness. Endure hardness. We've got to endure that hardness, beloved. We just can't be thin-skinned. We've got to go out and endure hardness. And he says in verse 4, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Beloved, you just can't stir every pot when you have the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and when you're getting the message out. Why? Because you've got to reserve some time that you may be able to please him who hath chosen him, chosen you to be a soldier. So you just don't have time to stir every pot. Beloved, what I've shared with you today is just a little bit, just a fraction, a small fraction of the gospel of the grace of God and the word rightly divided. Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Beloved, as I forestated, this is the answer to confusion in Christendom today. And it is exactly why there is so much confusion. If men will just listen to what the Apostle Paul has to say from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what he would have us to do, beloved, things would be much better in Christendom today.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we could be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.